Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are not back in our studio inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway quite yet, but we're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, Renaissance stands ready to be a bank big enough to give you all the services that you're looking for as a business, but small enough to answer their own phone. And I like that combination. And I like that combination, and I know that personally because I recommend people use Renaissance from my own experience. So if you are looking for a better experience with your bank, here's what you need to do. Go to renaissancebank.com. Find the office near you. They've got over 200 across the South waiting and ready to serve you, and call them and watch when they answer the phone and talk to them and make an appointment to go see them. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Andy Roberts. And Andy is a senior vice president with Cressa Global, but Cressa here in Atlanta. Right, Randy? Right, Andy? Good to have you.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. John.
Awesome. Tell everyone about you and Cressa. How do you serve folks out there?
Yeah. So we help occupiers think beyond space. We're the largest firm, commercial real estate brokerage firm in the world that exclusively represents tenants. And we do that so we can place all of our energy and thoughts and focus on their needs. And particularly now, more than ever, as you can imagine, tenants are thinking through, okay, well, what should our space look like? How will this affect our employees and vice versa, and hiring and retaining talent? So that the intersection of real estate and labor and profitability, that's really our wheelhouse. We help occupiers navigate those dynamics.
This may seem self-evident, but sometimes folks don't get the full significance of these things. Talk about why it is significant that you only represent tenants.
Yeah, sure. So it removes all conflicts of interest with the landlords. And I, previous to getting into brokerage, I raised capital for REITs for a number of years. And so, you know, they are beholden to their shareholders. That's who they answer to, and that's who they should answer to. And those shareholders are looking for their stock to increase. They're looking for their dividend to increase. And that's obviously fueled off of rising rents paid by the tenants. And so when moving into brokerage, I knew I wanted to be able to solely focus on the tenants and remove all the conflicts of interest so that our clients know that we're in their corner and only in their corner.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room, Andy. And of course, that's COVID and the effect of COVID on commercial real estate. And one of the things we were talking about before we came on the air was just the trends that COVID have really expedited that were really already in place to begin with. Talk about that for everyone.
Sure. We have several verticals of commercial real estate. At Cressa, we primarily focus on two, on office and industrial. So if we look at industrial, the industrial sector has really been on a strong bull run for quite some time. I think it's probably best summarized by the Amazon effect. And that has, as you can imagine, been expedited by COVID. You know, the percentage of just common retail services that are now online, even if it's just, you know, groceries. I mean, you know, more folks are buying online than they have in person. And you also have an industrial, the average industrial user has much lower density on the employee front. And so quarantine and social distancing has not had as dramatic an effect. So this has really continued to expedite the growth of the industrial sector. And Georgia, obviously being a logistical hub, has benefited greatly from that. And then in the office sector, you know, we already kind of reached the intense density of, you know, what comes typically with the tech sector, you know, just open bench seating. Probably about 3 years ago or so, 3 to 5 years ago, we kind of hit the extremity of that point and had already been swinging back to lower density, higher or, you know, you think about the employee per average square foot. I mean, that's just kind of increased. And so, as you can imagine, 6 feet social distancing, that's continuing to play out. So those are trends that were already in place. I think you'll continue to see those, obviously. And, you know, I think also on the office sector, two points have come to light. One, that there is a value in office. I realize I'm biased in saying that, but companies need a hub largely for cultural dynamics. But that too, it can look and operate dramatically different going forward. I think on average, the clients we've worked with have decided they can, you know, reduce their square footage by about 25% to 30%, and yet still, you know, have that hub, have that cultural dynamic, have that synergy and collaboration, if you will, and yet simply be more efficient going forward.
Now, obviously, there's this dynamic of work from home versus office, and that was going on anyway, well before COVID. And there were a lot of companies, as you say, they're kind of swinging back and forth, and the pendulum for that whole dynamic was swinging back and forth. How do you see that playing out, and in ways that maybe go beyond just what the conventional wisdom might be?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. If you think about it, I mean, we've essentially seen a very unique 6-month snapshot of work from home. And essentially, what it's proven is a team that already knew each other, that has already worked together in person, could almost overnight flip a switch and continue to do that remotely with a high degree of success so far from what we've seen. Now, the real challenge and what's yet to be answered is, you know, on a continuous chronological paradigm, how that plays out over time. You know, you're going to have, if it's strictly remote, hiring and retaining and firing becomes much more difficult. A number of our clients have really struggled with, you know, we really, how do we undergo our typical due diligence on hiring new candidates when it's hard to get face-to-face, it's hard to fly them in or what have you. You also have, you know, just simply over time, the percentage of the team that has work together face to face or has that relationship, that collaboration, that's going to diminish. And so I think that points to, hey, we do need a hub where we can, that can take place for that continuity to play out beyond 6 months and beyond, as you can imagine. But the, again, it's going to look differently. I don't think it's, you know, return to the way it was. I think it's return to the new norm, if you will.
Folks, we're here with Andy Roberts, and Andy is here in the Atlanta office of Cressa Global, and he's a senior vice president there. Andy, talk about M&A activity and what's been going on there and how that affects office demand here in the Atlanta area. And that's something, again, going on before COVID.
Yeah, sure. So good question. You know, if you look at the commercial real estate sector in Atlanta, particularly in office, over the past 5 to 7 years, it's really largely been driven by the tech sector, whether it's technology companies themselves, or it could be, you know, service providers like accounting firms, lawyers, what have you, serving that sector. That's witnessed more growth than any other. We've been helped by the labor market here, by capital coming into Atlanta, seeking more inefficient markets. And you already had, prior to COVID, a particular niche within the technology sector of technology that increases the efficiency of commercial real estate. And so, as you can imagine, again, that's another example of a trend that's simply been expedited by COVID. If you look at money investing into Atlanta tech, it's, you know, pre-COVID, if you will, maybe the parameters were a little wider as far as what was accepted. That's become more narrow, as you can imagine. But again, Atlanta's been able to benefit by that, simply being in the Sun Belt, competitive labor market. And where that's really taking place and crossing paths with commercial real estate is you're going to just have all the more focus on a tenant experience, now a digital tenant experience. You know, each building having its own mobile app, where you can, you know, maybe even reserve your parking spot, what have you, order lunch from the restaurant in the lobby ahead of time, what have you, access in and out, video capabilities that's wired with your office and maybe through your landlord and what have you. So that's going to already increase in demand, and also on the landlord side, as you can imagine, in the cost for just, you know, janitorial costs for landlords are increasing. And so they're going to leverage that technology largely to increase the efficiency, to lower costs for their overall investors. So that's a trend that was already taking place that's simply going to continue to grow.
Let's talk a little bit about industrial and dig a little deeper there. I mean, I think everybody's done a lot of ordering on Amazon and understands maybe the implications of that on industrial. But Atlanta is a hub of logistics, and there was a lot going on there to begin with industrial here in Atlanta. So dig a little deeper on that, if you would.
Yeah, Atlanta's unique in that, you know, and what you've had is pre-COVID, you kind of hear this last mile. So if you think about the Atlanta market, it's obviously started in its core and just continued to grow. We really have no natural boundaries as far as, you know, water or mountain ranges. We can just continue to grow. And so what was common for industrial 20, 30 years ago, as far as just simple ceiling height and you know, dock size, was much smaller than it is now. And so you had a lot of kind of the in-town, what had been in-town industrial product, kind of convert to that West Coast style office. And that was very much in vogue. You've seen a lot of those developments around town. And so that simply continued to put pressure on the supply of in-town industrial product. It's hard to come in town and build a brand new industrial site with all the new requirements that's needed. And so you're just continuing to see large industrial sites that have the ceiling height, that have, you know, the bay width, the bay height, what have you, and the you know, the parking, the turnaround space that's needed, just continue to push the limits on kind of the metro region, if you will. And so, and yet for the quick in and out last mile, it's continuing to a bit of a tension on how that's going to be used, you know, where the higher price per square foot is going to come from the owner. You know, do I want to convert this to office? Am I going to get the higher rates, or do I want to save the money and simply keep it industrial? And yeah, it's not going to get really high volume, but it's critical volume for that, for the percentage that is there for that last mile, if you will. So that's going to be interesting to see that play out.
For sure. Folks, we're here with Andy Roberts chatting on real estate trends here in the Atlanta market. And Andy is the Senior Vice President at Cressa Global. So let's talk about dollars and cents. That's what business owners and are interested in, and executives are interested in. Talk about what you see with trends, rental off, or trends in rental rates. I'll get it out in a second. Trends in rental rates, and talk about that dynamic generally, and maybe what that looks like Midtown versus Alpharetta versus other parts of Atlanta.
Yeah, great question. So first and foremost, it's important to remember that commercial real estate as an asset class historically is a lagging indicator. So, you know, we're not, when COVID hits, you know, really kind of late Q1 throughout Q2 and Q3, you're not immediately seeing that play out. But I will say, as now we're into Q4, kind of looking at the Q3 numbers coming out, you are starting to see a softening in the market. You saw a substantial amount of sublease square footage hit the market. Essentially, that's where a tenant has a lease, they have years remaining, and they say, you know what, we're not even in there. We're not going to go in there and use the office. So let's put it on the sublease market and see if someone else can come along and pay a fraction, a percentage of the rent just to offset that cost for us. So you saw a tremendous amount of sublease square footage hit the market that tends to be at a lower price point, which puts pressure on the market. So all that to say, Q3 did start witnessing an increase in vacancy, softening of rental rates, nothing catastrophic by any means, but just kind of the first toe in the water, if you will. And I think, like anyone, that, you know, we just kind of looking for the crystal ball and how long this is going to last. So the Midtown historically has been the hottest market over the past, say, 5 years. And as you can imagine, the markets that have been on the greatest tear, if you would, will witness the greatest amount of kind of pullback or softening. Yeah, there is a lot of talk in the market as far as suburban sectors playing out well from COVID. That makes sense. We haven't seen the data really support that yet, but not to say it's not coming. Again, it typically takes a couple months to see the numbers show up in commercial real estate. So that's going to be an interesting trend to see if that proves true. If the lower density that's typical in a suburban market, especially with a maybe like a hub and spoke type model, several folks have started to transition to that as a way to deal with their operations post COVID. So all that to say, for the business owners paying rent, real estate's typically your second highest expense behind labor, and so there is a softening in the market, number one, which is good for tenants. And then number two, this has proven, hey, we can reduce our square footage significantly and lower those costs.
Let's say I'm a business owner and I've got my lease is coming due in 2021. It's time to engage on that question, obviously. In fact, you may be late engaging on that question if it's early in 2021. But regardless, what kind of it, and I know people are different and circumstances are different, but what kind of general considerations would you have business owners in that circumstance think about as they look at their options?
Yeah, great question. So I think, obviously the temptation is just make a knee-jerk reaction and completely make a decision on what reality has been for the past 6 months. And I think we'll all agree that we don't want the past 6 months to be our reality. We want to get beyond this. So let's say, for example, you're leasing office space, you're in the office sector. I think if there were one word I'd use is labor. And that's a word that I'd use prior to COVID and I would continue to use post COVID. I think the temptation is, hey, let's just get, as small a space as we can. Now, the challenge is you've got to make sure you can retain the labor and you can hire new labor, because that's going to eventually, over the long run, become a much higher cost if your footprint really doesn't serve your employees well. Mm-hmm. So it's really taking a step to say, okay, who do we have? Who do we want to retain? What do we want our employee base to look like 3, 5, 7 years from now? And then working through, and that's where we bring in our workplace strategist team. Okay, what does that look like? What should that footprint look like? If we want to expand or we want to contract, we want to already have those mechanisms in the lease. And a lot of folks, hey, look, it's working great to have your employees work from home 1 to 2 days a week. Most employees, the feedback is that's ideal going forward. So again, that point of, yes, we need an office, but it can look different. It can look more efficient. That's great. And so a lot of companies also are realizing, they've kind of had a loose work from home policy, but if you're going to have that as a norm going forward, you really have to take some time to think through what are the implications of that, particularly for managers, what have you, what are the implications? And so working through what is our more formal work from home policy? And that involves, I think most companies are underestimating how many areas of that business that affects. It affects HR, legal, as you can imagine. I mean, there's a lot of areas where we really need to get a more formal structure. We have a team that can help with that. Especially industries, for example, like in finance, where there's SEC implications, or healthcare, where there's HIPAA implications, security implications, data security implications, that really starts to uncover a lot of rocks that companies really need to take time to think through as a poise, so they're making a proactive, wise decision. And that's where we come in, help them navigate those decisions as opposed to a reactive, you base it all the past 6 months and now you're stuck with it for, 5 to 7 years.
Sure. Andy, I'd love it if you could share maybe a success story, maybe a client or two. You don't have to mention names, of course, but client or two that you really feel great about the success that you gave them in working with you.
Yeah, thank you. You're kind. So I'm currently working and can think of a large publicly traded company headquartered here in Atlanta. And it's been fun because the decision of their headquarters really thankfully coincided nicely with this, in the sense that we've seen enough of COVID to make more proactive decisions. And so, we've really, if I were to boil it down to three steps, summarizing what we just talked about: one, okay, what does your next space, what should it look like? You know, what have we learned from quarantine? What do we think, you know, what has worked well? What has not worked well? What trends do you want to continue? What trends do you want to lose? And so we can really, you know, get in, interview the key stakeholders, what have you, decision makers, and come up with a footprint that's really going to serve them well over the long run. To bringing in our remote works, you know, specialists, what's a formal policy that we can put in place that's going to serve you going forward? And we've, you know, on their headquarters, as we approach the third point, you know, now we know specifically what we're looking for in the market, so we can attack the market in a progressive manner as opposed to regressive, know exactly what they're looking for, and their new footprint will be about 55% less than what it was. So that's, you know, it's a footprint that'll serve them well, that'll increase employee retention, the kind of place that they want to bring prospective clients to. And also, you know, they're cutting their expenses dramatically in half on that front. So it's that's a, you know, especially now post COVID, I think those were steps that are already in place that just, it places all the more pressure on those steps. So again, you're making a wise decision that's in light of what we've seen, as opposed to just a quick reactive decision.
And we were talking about engaging you if someone's looking at 2021 and having decisions to make, but it sounds like given all that has happened here recently and how things have accelerated, trends have accelerated, that engaging you as early as possible in the lease renewal process or moving, what have you, is really a wise decision.
You're right. I appreciate you saying that. Again, that sounds like a natural answer I'm going to give, but I mean, to the client's benefit, the earlier, the better. To just, you know, even if it's, okay, let's discuss what you've seen, what's worked well for you, what's not worked well, best practices that we're seeing. Again, we have global capabilities, so we're working with companies literally all over the world. And depending on what industry they're in, some practices work better for some industries than others. And so we can bring that wealth of knowledge to the table, just kind of kick around ideas and come up with solutions. And it may be, okay, this is what we want our next lease structure to look like. It may be, hey, let's just push it out a year because the nuances of that particular business needs a little bit more time. So we'll work with your landlord on your behalf to do that. And we've even, you know, I had a conversation with a client last week that said, look, our, you know, I think we're just going to let our lease expire, give it maybe 6 months or a year, and then make a decision. And knowing the unique nuances of their business, that makes sense, you know, but at least in the meantime, we can kind of keep a pulse on what's taking place, knowing what they'll likely need next. So you're right. The earlier that conversation, even if it isn't, hey, an imminent lease expiration, just having an idea and kicking around, you know, what's taking place in the market, again, best practices, that's a conversation we obviously welcome because we learn a lot from their feedback as well.
Well, Andy, this has been great. Lots of things to think about for business owners. And I'm sure that there have been some things you've mentioned that maybe folks want to follow up on. So we don't want to give them that chance. So if you could give folks your contact information, how you'd like to have them get in touch.
Oh, you're kind. Sure. Feel free just to Google Andy Roberts at Cressa. If you just Google Andy Roberts, odds are you're going to get a famous cricket player from Jamaica. Not me. But if you Google Andy Roberts Cressa, it'll come up. My email address is aroberts@cressa.com. Again, our firm is Cressa Global Inc. And feel free to give me a call. My number is 404-680-2498. And happy to help in any way.
Great. Andy Roberts with Cressa Global here in Atlanta. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Folks, if you need some help that involves administrative tasks or marketing, bookkeeping, presentations, you've got some issues that, like, you need to get off your desk and outsource to somebody that can do it better than you can while you focus on the other details of your business. I've got an idea that involves picking up the phone and calling the chief executive angel at Office Angels, S.E. Escobedo. Her number is 770-442-9246. She and her team have been working virtually for 20 years now, so they know what all this is about and how to work in this environment. And S.E. listens to your problem, picks the best angel on her team to address that problem. They fly in, get the job done, and fly out, and they work on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Go to officeangels.us for more information, or, again, call Essie at 770-442-9246. She and her team are tremendous, and I know that firsthand. Another quick reminder before we wrap it up here, you can find our show on all the major podcast apps. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term. We're on all of them, so check us out there. And you can also connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Andy Roberts, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.